Good morning. Good to see everyone out. I think we got several missing throughout the somewhere, but continue to pray for them and looking forward to a brand new year beginning in a day or two and excited about what God's going to do. 2019 has been rough. Don't have to tell anybody that. It's been a tough year on our church, been a tough year on us, on a lot of people, and 2020 is going to be better. I heard the other day, and Lord's been laying on my heart, the 2020 vision. That's what we strive for in our physical lives, and spiritually, I think we need to get a 2020 vision. There's a lot of things. We're going to start preaching on this morning, and excited to see where it goes. May turn into a little sermon series. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but as you've seen on our board, and I know a lot of people's not here today, so maybe they'll listen to the recording, but our fellowship hall payment starts, and if we're going to meet that, we've got to get some new vision. So I guess I'm starting a little early on you this morning, but that's what's on my heart. And I ask you to pray for one another as we go into this year. We say it every year that we start. This year could be the greatest year we've ever had, but we've got to desired in our heart. We got a desire in our heart if it's going to be. If not, it's going to be like every other year. We've already started seeing the advertisement for all the exercise machines, and you'll see it for all the diet plans, and they'll run strong for about 2 months, and then it'll go and start advertising for Valentine's Day or something else. So, and that's the way we do in our church life. We're not careful. We'll get all excited about what God can do, and then as the months wane on, we'll begin going back to our old ways. So I pray this year that we truly get a 2020 vision. As far as prayer request goes, I ask you to continue to remember our family. Remember my dad as he's struggling. I ask you to pray for him, pray for us. Pray for all the other ones that's lost loved ones. We're not the only ones. Ask you to remember Maudie and Keith and them as they're dealing with some of the same things we have been through. And I know there's many others. We have any prayer requests that anybody wants remembered this morning? There's not many of us here, so y'all can speak up. Don't feel embarrassed.
Ashlyn and I have a friend that lives in North Carolina. She has tried to have a baby and just been through infertility and unsuccessful, and they have a little baby that will be here in June. So y'all pray for her and pray for just the baby that we would hope that she would be able to have a healthy baby, so pray for her.
Amen. Any others? Again, remember the ones we have traveling, some on vacation, different places, some sick. So remember those and pray for a service this morning. I know we tend to let crowds affect the way we worship, and let's don't do that this morning. Let's start in the year. This is, of course, I guess I'm looking forward already, but this is the last church service we'll have in 2019. You'll never have it again. And that never will never come around again. So let's make it a great one. You can leave here saying it's truly been nice to be in the house of the Lord. And His Spirit will be here if you desire it, if you call upon Him. And let's do that this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us. Father, we thank You for even as hard as it was, the year that's passed. God, we ask You bless us in the upcoming year, that God would get a new vision for how we're going to worship and serve You. God, I ask that You would touch our bodies. God, that You would touch our church, touch us spiritually. God, I ask You to touch our families. Lord, I ask You to draw lost souls to You this upcoming year, even today. God, I ask You to be with those that are traveling, be with those that's lost loved ones. God, You know how only You can comfort. Lord, we ask You today, be in our midst as we worship You, as we try in our weak way to worship You one last time this year, that God, You'd bless us, and You'd truly let us see heaven come down this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in the call to worship.
Come. after all we projected, a child in a manger. Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for?
Enjoyed that singing. One last hurrah of Christmas songs before we close it out. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's one of those messages that I feel like a hypocrite preaching because I'm the guilty of the guilty. But it's about giving. And not just of money, but of course money, and giving of our times. And I was going down the road this week, listening to radio, and began hearing about there's a preacher on there talking about giving. And he was letting his church have it. And I thought, oh boy, you might not be back next week. But he probably wasn't worried about that. He was preaching what the Lord had laid on his heart, I believe. But he mentioned that statistics have been made that if every church member in the United States of America was put back to welfare income, and from the welfare income, if they tithed on 10% of that, they would be an abundance of money in our churches. Now think about that. If we was all put back to welfare income, I have no idea what that number is. If we was to tithe as we're supposed to on that amount, they would be a surplus. They say that if every church member gave according as they should, that our country could wipe out all of our programs that we have, such as food stamps and that type thing. And listen, church, it is our job. It's our job to be reaching those in our communities who are in need. I'm not talking about socialism. I'm talking about godly people giving out of their hearts of an abundance that God has blessed them with, and it's biblical. I'm going to show you that today. The title of this sermon is Giving the Right Way. Giving the Right Way. And boy, is it ever laid out in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The verses we're going to preach on is chapter 9, verse 1 through 15. But I want to back up to chapter 8 for just a minute. I didn't put this on the guy, so don't worry about putting it up there. But in chapter 8, Paul was trying to reach out to the poor Christians in Judea. And he had already talked to the church of Corinth a year before and told them that they need to be raising money, giving money for this cause. Give them a year in advance. And he even used the example of the Corinthian church to the Macedonian church. And in doing so, the Macedonian church didn't have to give, but the Macedonian church had already given more than the Corinthian church. And so they had a special finance committee that was to take up that money, and they had already been to Macedonia, and they're about to be on their way to Corinth, so he sent ahead a letter, in this letter telling them to be ready for that offering, because he knew that they haven't done anything yet. A whole year had went by since they promised in their heart of what they were going to give to this ministry, and bless God, they hadn't done anything. Does that sound familiar today? Does that sound familiar? You see, the Macedonian church didn't have to give. The Corinthian church had plenty. God had blessed it above and beyond, but because of that blessing, I guess they saw no need to give. And that's how we are in our country and in our churches and in our communities today. God has blessed us above and abundantly, more than we deserve. And bless God, you can't get anybody to give anymore. You know what we'll say? I can't afford to. If I do, I won't meet this. I won't meet that. Just won't happen. And most of us never even think about what we are to give until the plate comes around. That's not biblical. I'm going to show you that. The plate will come around and we'll say, let me see what I got in my pocket. Well, Lord of mercy, I got a 20. I hope nobody's watching because I'm fixing to make change. Or I've got 100 or I'm about to make change. Now listen, I'm not trying to guilt you into giving this morning because we posted about our fellowship hall and all that. That's not what I'm trying to do. You'll see the same reason that I believe we need to get this giving thing down in our hearts today is the same reason that Paul knew that the Corinthians needed to. It was for their benefit. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit and your spiritual growth that you learn to give the right way. Listen to this scripture. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boasted you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought necessary to exhort the brethren, that if they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according to as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for fruit for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all boundless, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father, we thank you today, God, for this thing called grace. God, we thank you that we can learn to give from this grace. And God, that you may take us this morning, open our hearts and our minds. God, I pray you touch my body as I begin to preach this, to give my voice the strength to finish. Lord, I ask that you open hearts and minds today that we truly start getting this 2020 vision of what it is to serve you. And God, we ask you today for grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So he starts of telling them what was going on, of how the church at Macedonia had already given, and how they had promised to give, but yet they hadn't. In chapter 8, verse 10, he says, "Herein I give my advice for this expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." So a year had went by, and they had taken up nothing. They was not ready for the offering that was to be taken. They hadn't purpose in their heart. They hadn't planned anything. I guess they were doing like us Baptists do. When the plate comes down, brother, I'll just throw it in there, and we'll see what happens. Have you ever been to a Baptist revival or a youth thing or something? They'll just pass the hat around at some point, and you just give what's in your pocket. Most people hadn't planned to give according to the Bible says to. They've just got a little money in their pocket, and they're going to drop it in there. And sadly to say, that's what happens on a lot of Sunday mornings. They say in a church, only about 5 or 10% give. And all the other ones, and listen, I understand. Times get tough, but I promise you something today. This ain't me speaking, this Corinthians. I didn't write 2 Corinthians. Bless God, this is a God-breathed word of God, and you have to deal with it as he puts it out there. It's not me, so don't get mad at me today. But listen to this as we try to preach this. I want you to understand something about giving. In verse 7, it tells us about giving. It should be prayed and considered with much thought. According as every man purposes in his heart. What you give to God should be prayed about. It should be thought about. It should be something that you plan for. It shouldn't be something you decide you're going to do today, that you just pull out whatever's in your pocket. You decide to do that. You see, when you bought a brand new car, you made an agreement you're going to pay this much money a month. When you bought a house, you made an agreement you're going to pay this much money a month. You planned that thing out, you purposed it in your heart, and you decided you could afford that, and you was going to do it. So why in the world do our giving to God is we just give whatever happens to be in our pocket? Why do we do that? We can't answer it, can we? All I can tell you is we have got comfortable in our nation and in our churches, and because of that, we're having to bring missionaries home. We don't have money to give to the ones who need it in our communities. We don't have money to get the gospel out to them, and that's the reason, ministering to the saints, that church members are supposed to give. And I understand you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You say we got to pay our payment down there. Yeah, but listen, I'm just dumb enough to believe that through that building that many souls can come to Christ. They can be women events down there that the gospel will be taught. They can be men events down there that gospel can be taught. They can be youth events down there that gospel has been taught. I believe that's a necessity for our church, and I believe it's godly for us to give unto that thing. But that's not to be our number one priority. Our number one priority of giving is to minister to the saints. And I'll show you that. But it should be prayed about. It should be considered with much thought, not grudgingly. That means it must come out of a right place. Your giving must come out of the right place. You see, when many people put in the offering plate, I have been there with you, I'm there about every week, and we write that check and we begin dropping it in, and old Satan begins putting in our mind, oh dummy, how you going to pay the power bill? How you going to pay the car payment? How you going to pay the water bill? How you going to pay this bill? How you going to do that? If you give that much to me, to God, how in the world are you going to pay your bills? That's what begins coming up, don't it? And we tend to forget, hey, you ain't giving this thing anything. You're giving to the God of God and the King of Kings. You're giving to one who can speak and your plate can be over full. And listen, I can't tell you how it's going to happen. And I can't promise you if you give 100, God will give you 1,000. But I can promise you that God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. That's all I can promise you. Not grudgingly. The word means out of a right place. Not out of necessity. You see, when the plate comes by, I'm just using this for example this morning. I don't mean to upset you about that. But as the plate comes by, we feel a necessity to give. And you know why? Most of the time we feel a necessity? Because our neighbors are watching. The one next to you is watching. And if some of us have a lot of money and we're going to put a $100 bill in, we'll pull that thing out like this. Oh. And we'll drop him in. But if we got a one or a five, we'll do it like this. We tend to want people to see of what we give. The Bible teaches that is a wrong motive, and we should not give out of necessity. Do not give anything out of necessity, thinking that it's a necessity that you do that. If you can't give out of a right heart, let me ask you to do something. Would you please keep it in your pocket? If you can't give it rightly, keep it to yourself. God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Have you ever thought about that? He delights in a cheerful giver. I can't even say that word. He loves to see it. He loves to see you enjoy giving back to Him because it lets Him know that you love Him and you care about what He's got going on and you care about His children and you care about this. He loves to see a cheerful giver. It delights His heart. I believe He joys over this thing. So listen, church, let's don't give grudgingly. Let's don't give out of necessity. Let's give out of the right place of our heart. And this is only going to come from praying and talking with our spouses and talking with our families even and deciding what are we going to give in 2020. I'm not telling you got to give any more than yours between you and God. But what I am telling you is I don't believe God sent messages just because He needs to take up time. I believe God sent this today for somebody. And you said, yeah, they're on vacation or they're over here. We ain't got me today, preacher. What are you preaching this to me for? It's because it's what God has laid on my heart. God loves a cheerful giver. Listen to this. Giving the right way is grace giving. It is empowered. You can write this down if you want to. This is empowered by grace. It's motivated by grace. A right giving towards God is motivated by grace. Verse number 8. Listen to what it says. For though I made you sorry with a letter. I'm sorry, I was reading your wrong verses there. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Do you understand what the word grace means? It means unmerited favor. And my friends, you have been given a great grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave all that He had for you. He held back absolutely nothing. He didn't take the closest thing He could find. He didn't take what might suffice. He didn't take what might get by. God gave it all for you. And what in the world is it going to hurt you to sacrifice a little bit for Him? And listen, this is what Paul is teaching here. Is listen, this giving is not going to save you. This giving is not going to make you any better than anybody else. But what this giving is going to do is it's going to show that you understand the grace that God has given you. It is motivated by grace. You see, because God has given us grace and saved us, we should want others to be saved. And to understand that if missionaries are to go reach lost souls, it's got to be funded by somebody. And that somebody is you. And that somebody is me. And that's how this thing begins happening. His grace promises enough. Never running out. You understand that? God's grace never, ever runs out. You say, well, I just don't understand how I can give. I can't give no more than I can. You don't understand what's in my bank account. No, I don't. You don't understand what's in mine. But what also you don't understand is that God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9, listen what He says. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's grace is sufficient. It never, ever runs out. And this is also true in our giving. I can't tell you at the times I've heard stories about people who give when they didn't have to give. And all of a sudden, things would just happen. Money would come in the mailbox. I'm not going to tell you that's going to happen. But I am telling you that your needs will be met. And I challenge you to do something today. God tells us this in the Old Testament. He says, try me and see if I won't pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. You try me and see what I can do. My grace is all powerful. My grace is all sufficient. And brother, if we're going to give in a right heart, it must be powered and empowered and motivated by grace, by the grace of God. Wonderful, marvelous grace. His grace should motivate all of our good works, not just giving. All of our good works. That's what He says in that scripture. He gives us grace for every good thing we do. That means every good thing we do must come from the grace that he has given us. You see, it's not in our hearts to do any good. It's simply by the grace of God and that unmerited favor he has bestowed upon us that we know to do any good. So if you're going to give, you have to give out the grace and understand that you're giving because of grace that's been bestowed upon you. So it must be empowered by grace. So thirdly, I guess you could say, our growth results from giving. Our growth, spiritual growth, results from giving. Verse number 10 out of the same chapter. It says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in afflictions, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake, for I am weak, then I'm strong. It's supposed to be out of chapter 9, but I might have messed it up there. But verse 10 of chapter 9, let me read it to you. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Listen to this. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see, the same one who's going to bless the ones of whose seed you sow into, he's blessing you. We tend to think, oh, me, I better give. This little widow down here don't have anything for a kiss for Christmas, or she don't have anything to pay her power bill, or this bill or that bill. I better give for this. Listen, when we give out of grace, we begin understanding something, that this, yes, it's good for a relief of the saints. The Bible tells us that. We're going to get there in a minute. That's one good reason we give. But the reason that grace motivates us to give is because we realize that God grows us spiritually and we become fruitful when we begin giving according to he has. This is the first thing that Christians must learn to do before they can begin growing spiritually. We teach it to our children. We tell them when you get a job, you should begin tithing on that. When somebody gives you money, you should give back to God. It's a blessing from God. You should tend to give back. I don't believe that's taught anymore in the homes. I don't believe it's taught in many churches anymore. I don't believe it's this and that. And listen, it's got to a point that where people, I've heard people say it. Well, I don't understand why that preacher makes so-and-so. He only works one day a week. You ought to try it sometime. I've heard him say, well, how in the world can somebody be a full-time pastor when they're just preaching one time a week? And then people that's got bigger churches that pastor full-time, they got 300 or 400 people, bless their hearts. That's more than a full-time job. I don't see how they do it in a week's time. Heard people say it over and over. Don't understand why. Why you need to give money? If you believe that God's got all the money, why do I need to give it? Understand something. God can fund this church any way he chooses to, but he chooses to use it, and not only to fund this church, but to reach souls. He could make money fall out of the clouds as he did manna. He could make, as the quail came, he could make money come that way for those missionaries. But God desires to use his people, not so that anything will happen, but that they will begin growing spiritually and see God work in their life. He desires for you to grow. You see, as you give, I try this sometime. Give when you don't think you can. And then when you see God work, you know what you do? You gain some trust. And you try at that time, you say, well, let me try this again. And a plate comes by again, or you're asked to give to something, and Lord, and you pray about it, and you think about it. Remember, he tells us to purpose it in our heart, make certain why we're giving out of a right heart, and we begin thinking about it, praying about it, and make sure what we're going to give. And when we do that, and we see God bless it, and God use that money, and souls are saved, and people are fed, and all these good things begin happening, then we begin growing spiritually. And guess what? Before long, it comes to a point where we're not careful, we'll get like Truett Cathy. We'll begin giving 90% and keeping 10%. But see, the problem is, we don't want to try him. We say, well, that sounds good to preach, and it does. Boy, it's fun to preach. But listen, it's hard to live. When you're in the middle of those bills, you don't know how you're going to make it. It's hard to put that money into God's hands. You see, we tend to think, well, God, I know better than you do. I tell you what I'll do. Let me keep this week, and I'll double up next week. May I tell you something? You will not do it. You will not do it. I know some give once a month. I understand that. But if you try to do this and double up a thing, it will never, ever happen. You give, and God will bless our growth. Just as a planter of a tree begins producing as it grows. That's how you will be. And again, I say, the first thing a Christian needs to learn to do before he can grow spiritually is learn to give back to God. You got to learn to give. Not just of your money, but of your time. Hey, there's never been a time in churches as they are right now. You cannot get anybody to do anything because we've all got ourselves so busy. We're running to and fro. We're doing this. There's some people got kids and all kind of things. And y'all know I'm not against sports. I love that kind of stuff. But listen, it becomes wrong when you put it before God. Having a new truck comes wrong when you put it before God. When you ain't got the money to give God, you got the money to pay a truck payment, something's wrong with that picture. It is wrong at that point. Having stuff is not wrong until you put it in a wrong place, and then it's wrong. But as a tree begins to grow, when you plant a plum tree, you don't go out there tomorrow and that thing have plums. It goes through a few seasons of leaves coming on, leaves falling off before it bears. I don't know how many years it is, but it goes through a time. And that's just like Christians. As we begin growing, we go through some seasons. And as we begin giving and seeing God bless and God take care of us, bless God, his plan is for some point us get to the place where we've got our giving planned out, we've got our giving in our heart, we're giving out of a right reason, and he is blessing it, and we are a people that is blessed, and we are excited to give, and we look for opportunities to give. We go out searching for chances to give because we see the blessings that God is doing from it, and it's empowered through the grace he's given to us. How amazing this thing is. We realize through his growth that we are benefiting more than the one we give to. You think about when we give at Christmas time, maybe to those that didn't have. Makes us feel good, don't it? Have you ever thought about that maybe you're the one benefiting more than them? More of the blessing that you get from being able to give to them is more than what you're giving? And how God can take that little bit and he can bless it. And you can see things come from it that you didn't ever think was possible. And it all happened because you was willing to understand what had been given for you, which was all grace. And because of that grace, you understand, been bestowed upon you, you're willing to give back a little bit of what you have. And we begin growing. In our fruitfulness, we become fruitful. There's nothing more than a fruitful church. That church at Corinth was a nice church. I bet it was a beautiful church. It was a growing church. People was coming to that church. But listen, they had lost sight of something. They had not kept their promise on that giving. They had gotten to a point of where they was just throwing in whatever's in their pockets. They hadn't planned. They hadn't purposed. They wasn't giving out of right hearts. They wasn't giving according to the word of God was telling them to. They were just simply going through the motions. And then there was a little church over at Macedonia, bless God, they didn't have nothing in their treasury. They didn't have a beautiful building. They didn't have all the fancy stuff the church at Corinth had. But bless God, they had a right heart because they had already give and was just happy to do it. What a beautiful picture it is of a church that's willing to give. So you see, we've went over giving and the right way to do it. Must be motivated or empowered by grace. Our growth results from our giving. But I want you to see this one. God gets glory through our giving. There should be no other purpose for us to live than to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Why? It goes back to grace. Because he has given his son for me. Something as dirty and rotten as me, he gave the best thing that heaven had to offer, a sinless, spotless sacrifice was given for me. And because of that, I should desire to bring him glory. Verses 11 through 15, listen to this. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Do you understand that? For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Right there should be your motivation to give to anything that comes past. Now I know I said that liberally. You can't give to everything. I understand that. But you should have this thing thought out. Listen, church, we've got to think out some things for the church itself. You see, if we ask people to give out of their sacrifice in a church as a whole, we've got to get our giving down pat. In this 2020 vision coming up, we're talking about, we got to get this thing right. We got to give what we give to, right? We can't take this money, hoard it up, and build more buildings, more buildings. But we got to take that thing and get our giving in the right place also. Because it says that our giving to this brings many thanks unto God. Think about what little bit of money you give, maybe to a situation of a family that was needing Christmas. And as that grandmother or that mother or that daddy or whoever it was able to buy something for that child or put food on the table or pay something that needed to be paid, and they got on their knees at night and said, "Thank you, God, for supplying that need." Your giving brought thanks unto God. Your giving brings about many thanks. As we give to the mission funds and different things, those people in those other countries who are saved from their sin, who are saved from hell, and they bow down, they say, "Thanks unto God." Listen, that thanks is coming from your giving to that need. Your giving brings God glory. While I was by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. The abundant thanks to God by many. Nothing else that we do that I can find stands to bring God glory such as giving. I thought about this. Go anywhere in the scripture and you find me something outside of salvation that brings glory to God, but find something else we can do. It says my righteousness is filthy rags. That don't bring glory to God. It says that all the goodness I can do and all these great things and all this and all these great intentions, all these things don't mean anything. But the only place I found it said I can bring glory unto God is in my giving. In my giving. If when I take a little bit of what I've got stored up. You remember the old guy who had the barns? His crop was plentiful and he said, "What will I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down them barns and I'll build some bigger ones." He said, "You're a fool tonight. You fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you." He died that night. It don't matter how much we can store up. It's about what we can give back. What we can give. I was reading in my office just a few minutes ago. Warren Wiersbe had wrote, "Never thought about it this way. We preach and we teach and we see in the scripture where it says that God knows the very intent of our heart. And you may have some little widow lady who can't afford to give $2, and she says, I wish I could give $100. Warren Wiersbe said that God sees the intent of that woman's heart. And then he sees the intent of the heart when a man may have $100,000 in his bank account and he gives $5. Or the man may give a $100 bill and in doing so, he gives it grudgingly. He gives it out of necessity. And God sees the intent of that heart. So that man who gave $100 really gave $5 to God because God saw the intents of his heart. How do you give today? When it's time to give, how do you give? Do you say, "Oh man, if I don't do this, that fellowship hall ain't going to be built. Or if I don't do this, then people are not going to be fed. Or if I don't do this, the church can't make its way. Or if I don't..." Listen, if you can't give out of a right heart, I've said it already and I'll say it again. If you can't give it to God because you love him and empowered by grace, and keep it for yourself. Don't give it. Hold on to it. Because God knows the intents of your heart. My desire is that we grow spiritually. That we grow closer to him. And there's no other place I can find that we begin to do this than when we sacrifice what's so important to us Americans is money. The same guy I heard preaching the sermon to his church. He told him, he said, "Most of y'all write $5 checks every week." He was giving them trouble about that. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I searched this out. Don't know who come up with it. Don't know where it come from." But he said that most of the world gets about $65 a week, I think he said. If you average it out, most of the world, now listen, there's a lot of people who don't get this much. And a lot gets way more. But he said most of the world gets about $65 a week to live on. He said, no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong, not a week, a year. Most of the world lives on $65 or $75 a year. Now, this may have been preached some years ago. I don't know, but listen to this. He said the average American loses at least $75 a year in your couch cushions, in your car, You run off and leave it at the store for change, or it falls out of your pocket, or somewhere down the line, in a year's time, between whatever reason, you'll lose $75 a year. And the rest of the world only gets that amount to live on. So us Americans lose more that we never miss than the rest of the world lives on. But we can't sacrifice a little bit. And lastly, giving proves your dedication to furthering the gospel of Christ. At verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Do you understand that one word? Professed. What you profess to the world is your giving, showing that you are what you're professing. You can say, I love Christ all day long. You don't give $2 back to him, there ain't much love there, according to the word. And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Again, the Bible doesn't teach socialism. It, by fact, it teaches complete opposite. It teaches if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. But it teaches also that we who have been saved by grace through Jesus Christ, our giving shows that we are what we profess. And in doing so, all men can be blessed. All men can have. It says, by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What is the unspeakable gift? Grace. If you didn't get one thing out of this sermon, I want you to get this. We are to give because of God's grace. Because the grace given unto you is why we should give of our finances, of our time, of our energy, of our talents, of everything. We should be given. We should be given all we can stand because God gave everything he could for me and you. God held nothing back from you. Hold nothing back from him in this upcoming year. Hold nothing back. And I challenge you to try. Try him. Don't try me. I'll fail you. You get down this word of God and you go back to chapter 8. Get down your word tonight or tomorrow sometime when you have some time. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and you read through chapter number 9. And you pray about that thing. And you let God show you what you should give. And you talk about it with your spouse. You talk about it with your family. And come to a number. Come to a thing that you are to give. Maybe you're giving financially. Maybe you should be giving of your time or something else. You purpose that thing in your heart that you're going to do it. And do it. And God will bless you. Corinth had already wasted 1 year. And had done absolutely nothing. Had not raised a penny, I don't believe. Had not raised anything if they told Paul they would raise. Boy, I see that in us Baptists more so than I have ever seen it. I see it myself more so than I've liked to admit. I am the king of good intentions. I have some great intentions. I'll be riding down the road, boy, and come up with ways that we can serve the lost, serve the poor, and save the lost, and come up with all kinds of things, and time takes over, this care, that care takes over, and my intentions never amount to anything. That's what had happened to the Corinthian church. I pray in 2020 we be like the church in Macedonia. We may not have an abundance as the world sees it, but bless God, we're cheerful givers. And because of that, we're ministering to the saints of God. You see, we tend to think about giving, just giving to the poor who don't know God. Everywhere you saw in that scripture, it talked about ministering to the saints. That's to the people of the church that don't have. We're to be helping them. We're to be giving to them. We're to be lifting them up, helping them with the burdens. Boy, this thing's hard, isn't it? But if you'll trust God, he'll give you the strength. If everyone would, please stand. Again, I don't know what you give. That's none of my business. It is God's business. And the reason today that I desire you to get that given, and I desire me to get my gift. Listen, I'm not perfect in this. I'm not sitting here preaching to you as one who does everything right when it comes to giving. I'm far from that. I'm sitting here today preaching this to you because the same reason I believe that Paul sent this letter to the Corinthians, he desired them to be closer to God. And my job as pastor is to desire you to be closer to God. And this is the first thing I see that will get a person to where they should be with God is giving of what he's blessed them with. As she plays today, maybe there's one here that you don't know Jesus. I pray you will before the service is over. Maybe you hadn't been given any. Maybe you've been given a little bit. Don't give out of necessity because I preached on it. Don't give out of a grudging heart because I preached on it and you feel like you've got to. You take some time this week, the next month, and you begin praying about your giving. You begin seeking God in the Word about your giving. Don't come up with a reason of why you should give because I said to, or anybody else said to, or it said to on the board, or any of this. You come to a reason through God, through grace, of why you should give. But I do ask you one thing. Try God. Try Him. And see if He's not faithful. See if He won't bless you. It's not the motive we should give out of blessing, but He will bless you. You need to pray about anything going on in your life. Would you come today? Would you come and we'll pray about whatever you need us to?